And call to order this meeting of the Alameda County Ag Advisory Committee. Myself as chair and Diana Roberts as vice chair presiding. And we will start by doing a roll call.
Yes. Okay, Sharon Morton.
Here.
Vice Chair Roberts.
Here.
Member Anderson.
Here.
Member B. Miller.
Here.
Member Campos.
Here.
Member Farhan.
Here.
Member Goslin.
Here.
Member Harvey.
Here.
Member Hoppies.
Here.
Member Huntsinger, I believe, is going to be joining us remotely. Let's see. Member Huntsinger.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was muted. I'm here, but I'm home.
All right. So, using one of her Just Cause absences or remote call-ins. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you.
Member Moore.
Yep.
Member Quigley.
Here.
Member Sullivan.
Here.
Member Sweet.
Here.
And just to note, Member Warren is here, but is not yet officially a member because he hasn't been officially appointed by the board. So that will happen soon. Apologies, but we note that you're here. Member Wendy is excused, and Member White
is gone on his way.
On his way. Okay. All right. So we have a quorum, and then our ex officio members: Sheila Berry, Nan Ho is excused. Elka,
yes,
here. Don
yeah.
is here, and Ali Albers is here, and Veronica Rivera.
She's furloughed.
Is furloughed, of course. Yeah,
nurse, okay. Yes.
That is an excused absence. Okay. All right.
Wow, wait. This is going to be one of the better attended meetings we've had in a long, long time.
It's looking good. Yeah. Okay, next item of business, item number three, is the approval of minutes from the September 23rd, 2024 meeting. Anybody has any comments to make on the approval of the minutes, item number three? Let's hear them. Or
Sharon Norton, I actually read it and I moved to approve the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
We need a second, Member Whitley.
Yes. There's no discussion to be had. Do we have anything from the public we need to check?
I see no raised hands online and no raised hands in the room.
Okay. Who's eyes? All eyes? Aye.
Aye.
Any nays? Okay. Unanimous. Item number four, moving on, is open forum. Any member of the public may address the committee on a matter not on the regular agenda. No discussion or action may be taken on these items, and there is generally a 2-minute time limit.
So nobody, the raised hands online, and I'm in the room.
Okay, moving forward, item number five. So as everybody knows, this is my first meeting as the chair. We actually did have an executive committee meeting. So I will inform everyone of that. The agenda has not been updated as much as I would like. So as you can see, there's still placeholders from Carl, such as item 5A, AAC, purpose, powers, and duties, subcommittee structure to support strategy. An item that's near and dear to my heart. I really loved when Carl did that. But for my, myself, I tend to be pretty quick and to the point. You've seen me on my solar subcommittee updates. But I'd like to just talk a little bit about our executive committee meeting. So we went over several of the items that are going to be in this agenda today. So we do have some irons in the fire. I don't want to repeat them because they're coming up on the agenda, as it were. And we also spoke about items that we could bring back up. One example I'll give to you all is shipping container policy. Do you guys remember how we had started to become involved with shipping container policy because of some complaints that had reached us through our function, through our official functions of the Ag Advisory Committee? That was an item that we waited on and kind of dropped by the wayside, but during our committee update, we discussed how we might be interested in making recommendations on that policy in the future. So in that, we were looking at agenda items to take on in the future. Beyond that, we actually, something that there is an attachment for today, we have a draft meeting calendar. And now some had proposed in our executive committee meeting that this be an action item. I asked for it to be an informational item because the calendar that is in here is what has been planned in the past. It's an attachment that hopefully everybody's seen it. There are 10 meetings in that calendar for 2026. I wanted to have some discussion about this, some frank discussions, to see if everybody wanted to stay on that pace, which I think is a pretty fast pace. I had considered proposing that we meet perhaps every other month instead of almost every month with a couple of vacations. But I really wanted to bring this item to be talked about in front of the board to hear people's opinions on that matter, so that at the following meeting from this one, our November meeting, which is already scheduled, we could have an action item and solidify a calendar for next year. That being said, are there any comments on the draft 2026 meeting schedule as it exists now, or any comments about what members might like to see changed in 2026 regarding that calendar?
I put it up on the screen too.
Okay, Ali's got it up. Chuck?
I think every other month is fine. I like the idea of doubling my, I mean, the library, Cash Rally, occasionally. Kind of splits the distance between all of us a little bit. If there's items that are action items that we need to take, then we can always say that we need to have a meeting next month because we have a pending action item where we got an item that's going to go before the board and we need to revise it before it gets there. But just to make every month because it's on the calendar, to me, doesn't really, I don't find it we get much done. More about seeing a little bit more action and a little bit less talk. And I know all the MAC meetings, if funding brings something to me, I'm not sure that Cache Valley MAC. If we don't have at least three items on the agenda that are action items and they're not holding somebody up for a permit, I just kick them down the road to the next meeting because I'm not going to bring, you know, all the people from the committee together, you know, to review two cell towers.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the cell towers are by right anyway, you know, they were doing it, so, you know, how we're going to do the trees. But if we're not holding somebody up that's looking for a conditional use permit or a an SDR or a building permit, then I typically move them down the road because everybody's time's valuable. And just getting here is a half an hour, 45 minutes half the time. So, that's just how I feel about it. But you schedule them, I'll be here.
I do feel like the brisk pace with which we've been meeting for the past 2 years, we have made certain advances that are great, and they are now part of our system, such as our subcommittee structure, and some of that may possibly allow us to conduct more business in our subcommittees before we come to all get together in our committee.
Yes. I wanted to confirm both what Chuck said and what you just said, Jack. I think it would give us a little more time to get the work done in our subcommittees, and because a 2.5 hour meeting every month is quite the commitment, but I would love to see some more action we can bring back at those every other meetings.
At this meeting here, if it gets together, if you get together to vote on the items that come out of your subcommittee, your subcommittee should be doing the work, and this group here should get together to either move it forward or not.
I agree with every little bit.
Karen.
The only other thing I would mention is, and they would vary, I guess, is that we have been having some presentations and we've had some issues come from county agencies, some of which might not wait 2 months, but that could be part of the planning. Do we have a meeting this coming month or not? So that's just the two. I think we've all benefited by the outside presentations and we've asked for the fire issue, but I think we're kind of at the mercy of what the planning staff or other agencies have been bringing us to us too. But if they plan further ahead and fit a smaller or briefer schedule, we can still accommodate those too.
May I just interject something? So something to keep in mind is that the East County map is also in the process of being established. So that's another body that, and I know that your committee has really acted sort of in the stead of an East County map in many ways. So it could be that some of those land use items that have historically come here may go there instead, or they will may come to both. So, and that may also be a meeting that many of you want to attend or be part of that committee. So just something else to think about.
What is the status of the East County map
currently? To the best of my knowledge, an ordinance was adopted establishing it months ago, like 6 or more months ago. But at the status of like finding folks to sit on that committee, I don't know. Yeah. I can try to find out.
Thank you. Larry?
Yeah, well, now I'm distracted.
Sorry.
Pretty soon I'll be chasing moths. That being said, what's going to be the scope of authority or the jurisdiction that he's counting on?
To the best of my knowledge, it is everything that's not covered by Eden Area Map, Fairview Map, the Castor Valley Map, and Sewell's KC. So it's basically all of the rest of East County that's not covered by the Sewell's KC.
And not in the cities.
And not the cities, yeah.
What's the nature of the decisions are made by MAC? Are they advisory? Or
it's advisory,
okay.
Yeah.
And do they rule on zoning issues or zoning enforcement? Or
they would
provide
advice on those items, yeah.
Okay, yeah. But not necessarily policy development like we do.
They would also...
Oh, we do with the Sunol one.
Yeah, they would weigh in on policy development too. So, for example, we would bring... a general plan amendments to every, like if it applies to the entirety of the unincorporated area, it will go to every map, including the new East County map and likely the Ag Advisory Committee as well. So I
actually see that potentially calling for more meetings.
That's possible.
Right.
I don't know yet. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Larry,
sorry to throw a wrench in it.
Larry, what you'll see more of is there'll be two land use meetings and one general purpose meeting probably. And then in the land use meetings, if something comes up in agriculture and it goes to TNP from there, then they'll usually, if it's ag related, they'll kick it back to the ag board for review.
Okay.
That's generally what we see. We're working on the SDR process that came out of the MAC in Castor Valley for horse facilities. And then it went from there to planning. From there to TMP, and TMP says, part of the deal is to consult with the ag board. So, it's
not sure. Okay.
I would imagine that would be more of what's going on in the East County map.
And will membership be composed of people that live in the unincorporated areas?
Yeah, it's either, if it's like the other maps, folks that live or have businesses in the area that's represented by that map.
So we're going to start a breeding program for people?
I'd love to find out.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
What I'm hearing is we don't know what the right answer is, and perhaps we should just keep at the proposed calendar, but make it an agenda item to either call for the next meeting the next month or pass over it. Towards the conclusion of the meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say I lean towards that as well. If we find a meeting that can be canceled or, prioritize some months for presentations versus others. So, if we know we want to have an April meeting, we'll have a presentation then as well and make it an impactful meeting. And if May, we don't know whether we're going to have something planned. We have something on the calendar, but can be canceled if there's no items.
What if we just took and said, okay, we'll take this calendar. And then if a subcommittee has something, that's an issue that needs an action item on it, then you get a hold of Jack, your chair, and he says, yes, we're going to have the meeting this month, or he makes a decision that we haven't had enough input from the subcommittees to have a meeting, and it's not driving.
Or the executive committee could have that function.
Whatever
yeah,
you
absolutely.
Want to do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that that's typically how we arrange other county meetings that are commissions. Is the chair would look and see, okay, we don't have any action items that are really pressing, and to draw 15 people to a meeting is not warranted. So we're going to skip this month and we'll move it down to next month.
That's kind of where I come down on this. So I'd like to keep to the existing schedule, and you know, it's nothing that concentrates the attention of committees then knowing they've got to report on something every month. You know, you only have to report on something every 2 months. Well, you just kick it down, can down the road. So, and you know, East County Zoning Board of Adjustments, I don't know how many meetings they've canceled because there's no real action items they have to have. And I think it would be good if the committee chairs report to the chair a certain deadline, and then the chair decides whether we need to have a meeting that month or not. It will be a good process.
For state other agencies, particularly state agencies, state parks, or Department of Water Resources, or resource conservation, sometimes they have deadlines that require, if we want our input, you know, a letter of support for a land use activity, and there's one now, Tesla, that's got a October 31st deadline. We need a process, and if it's through the chair, and that's kind of how it was before, because we put out some letters like that and went through Carl, and the executive committee, as I recall, was briefed. If that's the process going forward, it might work, but sometimes the particularly the state agencies and federal agencies will give us a deadline on something that we have to react to on a land use matter. So my two cents.
I'm just going to note on the administrative side that it's easier to cancel a meeting than it is to call a special meeting.
That makes a lot of sense.
Oh, and then just also a note on the items in red. So I kind of based this on our previous schedule. And then since we met at the Castro Valley Library last month, I just asked our admin folks to check if it was available to give you options. So it's of interest. We have this space and that space booked for those dates, and we can choose. And we can choose.
Great. I was gonna ask you about that. So
yeah.
So I'm assuming you asked for all months and three were available for next
yes.
year?
Yeah, I just asked, you know, what dates were available.
Okay. No more discussion right now from the committee. Is there any public discussion?
Stop my screen share. I don't see any raised hands. Member Huntsinger, I know that might have wanted to add. Okay. Yeah, no raised hands. I don't see any raised hands.
Okay, so to summarize what we discussed about, seemed like there were mainly two ideas. I guess a third idea is keep what we have status quo. There's also cut to every other month, or keep what we have with an eye to cut a meeting if it does not seem to be consequential and can be pushed. With that in mind, this will be an action item in November, and we will enact our calendar meeting schedule for 2026 events. Closing item number five. Let's go to item number six. It's a brief update on the future wildfire preparedness presentation or presentations to AAC. Allie, do you
want to take this? I basically wrote it all out, so it'll be really short. So the Office of Emergency Services is coordinating with CAL FIRE and other partners. So that would include ACFD and potentially others to plan a future presentation or a set of presentations to address the concerns that we all talked about last month. And so there's a summary of those in the draft minutes under item three, but I also kind of made a little summary of it here and welcome your feedback if I missed anything. So those things include evacuation plans, livestock evacuation and sheltering, rural emergency communication systems, the high cost of fire insurance, fire hardening and fire fuel reduction, firefighting resources in rural areas, so that was like water, things like that, rural roads, et cetera, and then relationship building for potential partnership between emergency agencies and rural residents. So that was what I heard, but if there was anything big that I missed, let me know. And oh, and the presentation date is TBD, and we were thinking of maybe a series in early 2026 ahead of next year's fire season.
Allie, was there anything said about the communication in the rural areas? Because many of our rural areas in the Catskill Valley area, particularly Coal Canyon, Port of Palomares, there's no cell reception anywhere. I know that we keep fighting with, we keep working with the cell folks to see if we can't get that improved. I know planning is working on something. Can that be part of emergency services?
It is, yeah. So it's on the list. I the way I wrote it was rural emergency communication systems. Okay. And that was sort of what I you know, included cell phone in my mind in that, but I could make it clearer that that's what I meant. Yeah, cell towers. And
yeah, I've done a little bit of research on that, Allie, and two of the things that stuck out in my mind was recommendation that there could be a lot of value specifically to water distribution systems at the rural or the wildlands urban interface, and then placement of trails is most beneficial when it's between small agricultural parcels, you know, those sort of distributed ranchette parcels. Mm-hmm. And the open space. So if we could get a specific response to those two issues, it could be valuable because we really don't have those in the county.
Got it.
I hate to mention this, but what about this fire season? I mean, we're in the middle of it. That sounds like a pretty urgent need. So could that be one conversation to put on the November at least?
Sure. Mm-hmm. And we could have it as a running conversation. I just don't know if we'll have anyone to present on it. Many of those agencies.
Now we would need a solution. Okay.
Well, Tracy, do you think there's something that sits above that list, like in prioritized order? It should go first.
The the lack of cell phone service in the rural areas. The communication, being able to get out at least.
We have the same problem in Sonoma, and we would love to see that solved.
Even earthquakes are year round.
Yeah,
earthquake issues.
Yeah.
Well, some of these canyons are just one way in, one same way out. You know, and there's no cell reception. And
do you have a phone tree at least for that canyon? I know that sounds old fashioned, but it really does sell.
We do. The property owners in Coal Canyon, the problem is everyone's giving up their landlords.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah.
So. But we, in our canyon, Coal, we work on this stuff.
Year round.
Emergency evacuation. Get it once a year. We have a phone tree, but like I said, you know, everyone
notifies, oh, take my number off my cell phone. And, you know, cell phone is very spotty out there. So.
It's particularly frustrating because we're continually giving cell tower folks ag land for their cell towers, but yet they're not reciprocating with giving good reception to the folks in these ag communities. And we need to put a little bit of pressure, I think.
So we'll just all knock on wood that fire won't happen this year.
Yeah.
Until we pull it together.
To be clear, our experience in Sunol is exactly the same as what he's reporting.
That may be something that policy can be developed on. And I don't know, it might be worth checking with staff to see if Alameda County could have policy that would allow the decision makers to condition certain cell towers extended service to adjoining areas.
We're in it right now, Larry, but it's we've been talking about it now for about 4 months, and it really...
The trick is to get the providers. If there's not many people that hook up to the tower.
But well, again, that could potentially, and again, I'm speaking outside my ability or knowledge, but potentially we condition the people who apply for permits to resolve that issue. And my understanding is the way you do that is to have a nexus strong between the permit and the problem that's created in some way. And I think the abandonment of landmines could be that nexus. You know, where she just said, hey, you know, people abandon their landmines because you guys are coming out there here and saying you're going to provide service, but you don't do it comprehensively.
So, yeah, in fact, half our canyon does not have internet through landlines.
Yeah, so you know, I think that's something we could bring to the agenda actually. Let's see.
The challenge, Larry, that we're coming up with right now is cell towers that are existing just get CUPs, and if some of them have had CUP in 5 years, and they're still operating. But at the end of the day, the state has said they're by right, basically. So the only thing we can do is say, we don't like the look of your cell tower, put some trees around it.
Sure.
You know, but, you know, once again, it doesn't preclude us from saying to them, guys, come on, you got to step up here. And I'm hoping that somewhere along the line, this will be a TNP action item that they would start putting some pressure on.
Yeah.
Chuck, I find it enlightening that your experience is exactly the same as Sunol.
So it's obviously going to take more time. I mean, to get it on those agendas earlier the better, because it might take 6 months to pull all that together. Okay.
Yeah, I can. I'm just waiting for the verbal rector that Wayne is here too.
Where are you going?
Just bring the chair. It sounds like maybe the window is working with that. So I can ask him and see if there's anything that he could bring back to this committee sooner. I'll find out.
And, you know, it is, we're in the rural property owners, you're in the Gap 22, because there's supposed to be all that federal money to hook us up to the internet.
Right.
You know, they looked at Nebraska and Iowa and those areas instead of, we have issues right here, but we're in the middle of a densely populated area, so we get overloaded.
When they build a highway down your canyon, you'll have it.
Did I miss the recognition of Amos? Or
huh?
Do we still need to recognize that Amos?
Oh, I okay. Say, yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
But that was it for me. I don't know if there's any other, I don't see any raised hands online.
Okay. So raised hands online, and we'll move on to item 7.
Okay, and that is me. So there's a handout that's been made available for this discussion. A little bit over a year ago, it was recognized, or quite a few years ago, it was recognized that there's a significant deficit of trail infrastructure in eastern Alameda County, so much so that a new designation for the county's developed. It's now called the Murray Township Untrailed Zone. And so it's kind of a catchy term that focuses the discussion on a harsh reality that can be visualized when you actually look at maps of services provided by Livermore Area Recreation Park District and East Bay Region District. Now, it was recognized by members of the community and the Ag Advisory Committee that there's an irony to that, and that we have two park districts that serve Alameda County. We have a planning department who oversees a general plan document, and we have certainly a boatload of agencies that are in charge of stewardship of our rural lands, yet we have this deficit of trails that is profound. On top of that, we have this mission to enhance agricultural and agricultural lands. So these wise visionaries from outside the Ag Advisory Committee came forward and said they wanted to be involved with defining these deficits. And Dick Quigley was kind enough to join the Ag Advisory Committee to shepherd that group. The end result is that four target trails were brought forward as suggested low-hanging fruit that could be targeted to demonstrate the feasibility of developing a quick and easy trail system based on infrastructure that existed but wasn't being utilized. And with that being the case, the Ag Advisory Committee over a year ago set that group free to start doing research and making determinations of feasibility for four target trails. Those trails are the Las Positas Loop Trail, used to be called the Carter Canyon Dual Canyon Loop Trail, but Las Positas College suggested that it might be nice to have it named after them. And so that has been done. There's the Morgan Territory to Brushy Peak Trail, the Brushy Peak to Lakedale Bow Trail, which includes the South Bay Aqueduct. And then because of the recent activity with Alameda Tesla Park over on the other side of Tesla Road, it's been recognized that we should look at creating a Tesla connected trail that'll link the roadside multi-use trail system along Tesla Road to Corral Hollow Road and onto San Juan County. That being said, we presented to Supervisor Calvert and we started having discussions about the feasibility of our system. And we were solicited by people in proximate counties to listen to them about their interest in participating in our trail system. At that point, we learned of the state corridor concept. The state of California has designated specific areas or specific trail concepts for development, with them providing a supporting role that is focused on encouraging local trail systems become focused on these regional corridors. And that being the case, if you look at the next map, there were three potential trails that we've identified that could fit that trail corridor designation. Two of them are state border trails, and one is a national trail. The national trail is shown in black. That is the De Anza National Trail. And years ago, there was recognition by trails advocates and people that are working with the current trail subcommittee. Years ago, there's recognition that trail development that occurred around the Lakedale Bow area, extending to Santa Clara County and extending north to Contra Costa County, planned parks in those areas could be connected in a manner that caused alignment with the De Anza Trail. So if you look at those black lines on the second map, what you will see is an area of green that is the Ohlone Wilderness at the very bottom of the page. But then up there in the top in the area of the Murray Township Untrailed Zone, we have a black line that designates the nation is interested in seeing us develop a trail, but we haven't coordinated that yet with local resources. If you look at the golden colored trail, that represents the Alameda County potential portion of the California Riding and Hiking Trail. The California Riding and Hiking Trail was a trail that was first proposed in the era of 1935. Okay. So it was a depression recovery trail. That trail system was recognized to be one that should cover the entire circumference of the state. So a big loop around the entire state and within state borders. And, you know, we were blessed with a designation that by 1945 had been formalized, that the state of California would support a segment that passed through Alameda County. And the county appreciated that so much that in 1955, the recreational element of the general plan had one map or one potential trail listed on their recreation document. And that was the California Riding Trail. And since then, we have accomplished absolutely none of it. And so that is a trail that the state is actually considering abandoning. Fortunately, East Bay Regional Park District in Contra Costa County has begun to implement the trail. And there's been an historical effort in Santa Clara County that potentially can be reinvigorated. So that is an example of connectivity that the Trails Subcommittee would like to begin to explore. We want to begin talking to Santa Clara County, talking to Contra Costa County, not only about our local trails, but how we connect with them. Now, the biggest trail is this blue trail. And that is a Supervisor Calvert Short Trail. That represents the potential Moquelmi Coast to Crest Trail. And it's unique in that it doesn't focus so much on the existing park infrastructure. You can see that there's many sections that are proximate to the existing park infrastructure. And a final trail could be designed to go into those areas. But it looks like this trail is running along the transportation borders, and that is the intent. The intent is to connect Alameda County's west side with its east side, recognizing that there's cultural and social diversity that exists that would benefit the county to explore and encourage and, you know, look at our resources and resources to be shared. More importantly, those are resources that that can be considered to be business support for a regional trail system. That T laying on its sides represents heads and beds, and there's nothing to be shy about with that. It also represents what Alameda County is. If you use your vision of your mind to visualize the airports that exist in the Bay Area, and you view them as our connection to the rest of the world, and if you look to the right off this map and think about Lake Tahoe, Yosemite, Gold Country up in Calaveras County, all of a sudden you realize, well, we don't have those things in Alameda County, but we are the gateway. We are the gateway to Tahoe. We are the gateway to Yosemite, and we are the gateway to Gold Country. And beyond that, when you start looking at these bigger maps of national trail systems, you recognize that with the right marketing, we are the gateway to the rest of the world. And with the economic success that we have in Alameda County, we have the potential to work up with our neighbors in San Joaquin and work with our neighbors in Calaveras County to build up off their existing infrastructure to create a trail that extends from the Pacific Coast all the way to the Pacific Crest. And that is the goal of this trail. So this is called the Moquelmi Coast to Crest Trail. So Jack was kind enough to help me get aligned with some representatives from Calaveras County. Both Jack and I have relationships in Calaveras County, and it is remarkably easy in Calaveras County to meet with your supervisors, and not just meet for them, but have them hang around for a couple hours. And so that being the case, we had a two-hour meeting with two of the supervisors. They strongly encouraged us to contact them again when we had a system in place. They were more than willing to consider a resolution that showed linkage with Alameda County. That being said, I reached out then unofficially as a agricultural neighbor, but not representing the county. I reached out to the wine growers in Lodi. They're a pretty cautious group, and most of your, or a large number of farmers in the Central Valley are cautious about trails and exposure to the public in general. On the other hand, they're suffering from the decline of wine prices that's happening internationally, and they are curious about developing a relationship. Now, a colleague of Tracy's happened to attend that meeting. I didn't realize that they had a working relationship already, but he was very supportive, and his card says, visit Lodi. And
seeing him tomorrow.
So that being the case, these three trails are ripe for bringing to the same status as the four pre-existing trails that the Ag Advisory Committee has said that they would like us to gather information, develop a plan on. So the motion that we have is written at the bottom of these couple of pages above Appendix 1. The Appendix 1 addresses the whereas section of the document. The whereas section is a section that's also referred to as the recitals of the document. That's a relatively long list of recitals for us just getting to talk to people about us representing the goals and interests of Alameda County with trails development. But the purpose of these recitals is to demonstrate our rationale for developing a trail system and the need as well. One of the recitals refers to $110 million of funds that were supposed to end up in Alameda County. On one hand, a park district that's coordinating with another park district said those funds were delivered. The other entity says, well, no, they weren't. And as of yet, nobody has been able to, in a forum that we're privy to, come forward with the documents that show that those funds moved from place to place. And more importantly, that there were projects associated with those funds. So that being the case, the proposal, the motion that I'm making is down below those recitals, and it is empowered by the nine recitals above. And so I know all of you have read this and have thought about it quite a bit. So what I am proposing is that we go ahead and make the following motion is made, or somebody make the motion as it's written below that thing, and that we vote on it. Now, the Appendix 1 specifically addresses the $110 million issue. And this information was gained from the Livermore Area Recreation Park District website. I don't know if I had any other references that related to it, but it's a pretty long statement regarding the $110 million. And I do believe it needs to be considered when we make this motion that we include the recitals specifically, because that is an issue that as we move forward with our work and we discuss our work with the county supervisors and we discuss our work with LAFCO, we want to assure them that we want to keep it in the top of their thoughts when they get to figuring out what they're going to do with that $110 million that they want. Because we think a portion of that should be directed towards curing the deficit that exists in the Murray Township entrance. So that's it. Now, if all of that is too much to kind of chew on and make a decision about, the agenda has a description of this agenda item, and that description with item 7 actually could serve as a short memo or a short action item. If we approve that, that'll send the trails subcommittee on its way, considering these three trails along with the other four, and then we can come back and address the recitals later.
Okay, Larry, thank you for your work there. I'd like to take a moment and give Dick the floor. Usually when we're hearing about trails, we're hearing from Dick and the trail subcommittee, and I know you guys worked together on this, and there's a lot of collaboration. But now that you haven't spoken, Larry, I'd like to hear from Dick.
You bet.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Larry, and Jack and I have talked earlier this week, and Larry had missed our most recent meeting on Monday, where we were really focusing on three or four letters. We have one done for Tesla because Tesla's got a deadline of October 31st to get, if we want to, a recommendation of trails for the Tesla park, including a regional trail to the California Aqueduct on the San Joaquin side, because we were recently out and toured the aqueduct and went up to Bethany Reservoir. And I won't go into detail, you've heard me talk before. There's an opportunity, and we vision it for the future of the trail that Larry talks about for a phrase that's been drummed into my mind for the last 30 years, agritourism. I have personally seen it when we opened the Ohlone that goes to Santa Clara County. It's there and it's wonderful. And it goes to Ed Levin Park. We can do the same thing with Tesla. We have a letter that Andrew helped us write last week. We've got it ready with my and Jack's signature on it. So I would second Larry's motion. But I don't want to. I want to make sure that we get Tesla and the instant need covered quickly, because we have a real time deadline. We will probably have one later on with the Bethany Reservoir and the work of the, you've heard me talk about the Delta conveyance and the pot of dollars that are could come into our community if we had a viable, smart plan on the drawing boards. And it's not for us to draw those trail plans. It's for the park districts to draw those trail plans. They have drawn them, but that's out of our realm. We can advise, and I hope we're advising really well with, like on the Tesla property, opening the historical ranch roads and roads of commerce for the people as soon as possible, as long as they can be made safe for the public. I don't want to pit the horse, the equestrian community against the mountain bikers. I want them all under the same tent, because if you don't have under the same tent to get started, you'll never get started and get the money. So show me the bucket of money, amass a bunch of friends under a large tent, and we may get some of these. We called it 30 years ago, Darren, you can remember, we called it a gap map.
Yeah.
We've got some of the gaps over the last 30 years
closed.
And they're wonderful. The Ohlone is probably the biggest in the county, but there are others. And the intersection in North Livermore at Greenville, and where the Iron Horse should go out to the other county, is precious, in my opinion. So if we could get, I'll second your motion if you could let Andrew talk a little bit about the Tesla letter that we need, or how to accomplish both as an action item.
Yeah, my understanding, and I've seen your proposed amendment to the motion, and so my understanding is you'd like to add an amendment to the motion that I am proposing.
Yes.
I've reviewed that amendment, sure works for me, and it, it demonstrates the reason we're making the initial motion.
I think Ellie's got the letter, and Andrew's here to
okay.
To share it if that's appropriate.
Works for me, and it works for the chair. It's, this is his gift.
Yeah. Sounds good.
So I took guidance from the committee with a bunch of notes that they gave me and constructed a letter that may go slightly over a page depending on what's going on. But essentially what this says is we'd like the state parks to review and support the draft park plan for the Alameda Tesla property. It goes into the details and explains that some of the detail operations like the subcommittee would like to have access so they can look at it and partner. But essentially, if you get down to the beginning, which is tell them what you're telling them, which is, if you don't mind back, just 1 second. We would like the state parks to review and support the draft park plan for public trail access of the Alameda Tesla property. It's been in the plan for many years. Okay, if you go all the way to the bottom, and I don't mind going over all of this if you want, it's not that long. We request state parks support the implementation of this park on the Alameda County Tesla property in alignment with LARPD's East Bay Regional Park District and the City of Livermore's intention to provide this multi-use trail on the Alameda Tesla property. This would be signed by Dick and Jack, Jeff.
Jeff. You got
Jack.
It. It's there.
Jeff, we got it.
It's written correctly.
I so apologize. You know, somebody in my life is named Jeff Norton, and so it's been hard to...
I apologize.
Jack
and Jeff sound nearly identical. I totally understand.
The proposal then, if this committee so approves this letter is written, the two of you guys would sign it. It would be on the letterhead from this committee and submit it to the state asking for this action.
Okay. Well, we have, it sounds like we have a motion in a second that we may need to reiterate. I think there's still more comments that are to be had. Just quickly, let me say that I am excited about what you all have developed here. It feels like a bunch of subject matter experts who are doing what they do best and making bold plans and actions to move forward. And it's very impressive. Bold things often don't work. Everybody knows that. But this looks like it has a lot of potential, and you don't have successes without making mistakes, and it doesn't look timid. I think it is very cool. I like what you guys are doing. I'm really happy to support it. That's all I want to say right now. Let's keep hearing from the board. Amos.
I was going to say, it sounds like you have two proposals and one that has a friendly amendment that is intoning that it's willing to accept the amendment as considered. So I think if the proposal's on the floor to be voted on tonight,
we can vote on it. This action on feedback is essentially do that.
Then I hear that is the initial proposal based on item 7 with an amendment. It's all right, just to restate.
Yes.
And then as per the public's comment on this proposal, that's a separate consideration. It's a letter. And it's a separate consideration. I don't know if it can be forwarded within the context of this, having not come through the committee.
It's a great point.
It is, as this is not the committee. So that's for, I think.
You're saying that's a point of clarification.
That's a point for the committee members to discern. I'm not a sergeant of arms, but in terms of it's public comment and proposal, but in terms of something that is not agendized, I don't think that's something we can consider for a vote at this time.
But did it come through the Trails Committee? Trails Committee did work on the letter.
We did.
Yeah.
Okay. It, you know, it, it absolutely was a product of the trail subcommittee.
But then even still, it's a separate item.
Isn't it on the agenda?
We could probably wait.
Is it on under 9 or where?
Yeah.
We could put it under 9G.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, I'm just for a point of procedure.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
Yeah, so I've worked under that check. And there's been a motion that has not actually been completely made yet. And then there's a short format that is essentially the line item on the agenda. And then there's a long format, a long motion, which is on the handout.
Well, let me say, Larry, too, even I might have this wrong, but your motion, if passed, gives the authority to send that letter itself. That's what the motion says.
And that is exactly right.
They do go together.
And the amendment can be attached to the motion specifically to allow that. And then there's a nexus between the action. There's a nexus between the amendment itself and the motion that justifies the amendment. And then we're dealing with the harsh reality of a time constraint, which is our deadline's up.
Can I ask a quick question? This was voted on by the subcommittee?
No, which one?
The map.
The original four? Holding the original four.
The original four, yes. Doing an investigation of the feasibility of those four trails was voted on by the Ag Advisory.
What I'm saying is you're presenting something here that came out of committee. Is that correct?
Item seven.
Yes,
came out of committee.
Yes, it came out of committee.
Okay. So actually two committees.
Okay. So I'm trying to understand how this process is working here, because typically when a committee meets and they vote on something that they want to move forward to the full board, the motion is already made. The full board is only voting on what the committee brought forward. You don't need a motion. It's already, the committee has already made a motion. They've already voted on it. I would assume. Is that?
That's a little.
The agenda item seven was actually put on the agenda by the Land Use Committee.
I understand on the agenda, but what I'm trying to say is typically in the way things work is a committee would meet, would discuss a document, they would vote on the document that they discussed that they want to move forward to the full board, and the full board would already, you already have a motion. Because the committee moved it forward. Only thing the full board would be voting on is what the committee brought here. You don't need a motion.
I think we have that, and the only extenuating circumstance is this extra deadline, which is that, you know, this extra factor is in concern.
But it doesn't change the rules and how things work. You know, you have kind of rules that you should follow.
So. The issue at hand was defining the work that could be brought before the Ag Advisory Committee. The Land Use Committee was consulted regarding that. They solicited the opinion of the chair, and then a decision was made to bring this to the agenda. And then after that, it was recognized that the issue regarding Tesla Park would need to be added as an amendment in order to have approval of that matter before the October 31st deadline.
In support of the trails.
Exactly, and the chair reached out to me for concurrence of my committee. My committee met a week ago Monday, but Larry, he wasn't there at that meeting.
Yeah, he was ill.
He was ill, and so that may have helped, mess things up a little.
I think even if that's really a stickler, I think, you know, the motion that is made authorizes that letter anyways, and that's just another way to look at it if there's some issue with it.
If you're comfortable with that, I would.
It clearly says right here, initiate outreach to relevant counties, quarter sponsors, state and federal departments, and other stakeholders to identify planning, funding, permitting, and partnership opportunities. That's exactly what that letter is doing. So,
I do have one question.
Yes.
Apparently, reading the motion here, and apparently Dick has an amendment to this motion, but where is that language?
He would have to articulate it and re-articulate what he stated on the floor.
So
it doesn't need to be, if even you can make a friendly amendment, once a motion has been proposed, you can offer
okay.
addition to it. In a
so he hasn't, the motion hasn't been made yet to amend
right.
the first, I got it.
Correct. The procedure, if I may, the procedure usually is, we hear the chair asks for discussion on a proposal. There's discussion, then it's asked for a vote.
Right.
If there is at that time someone who wants to make an amendment, then that's considered. Then it kind of restarts the process. First, you vote on the motion, and then you vote on the motion as amended in terms of process, and then that goes forward or it fails based on the floor. Usually when it's amended and everybody goes forward. But then that now goes forward as amended. And as Jack pointed out, the letter has already been discussed with committee. The committee's already considered it, that if we do pass this and approve the amendment, that letter would be a part of this and all of this would move forward.
So it sounds like we need somebody to make the motion of what Larry said originally, and weren't you going to make that a motion?
I thought I did.
No,
you make I thought I verbalized.
I need to say I move that into what Larry said.
I moved to approve Larry's motion.
Thank you.
It's just
needs to be described, if not read. You want,
yeah.
As written in something, kind of describe exactly what it is.
So Larry, the question, it's begging the question, what is the motion? What is it that we're voting on?
Yeah.
What is the language of what we're voting on? So that can be recorded.
Here we go.
Yeah.
So it's in the handout.
Yes.
The following motion is made. It is moved that the Agricultural Advisory Committee expand its Murray Township Trail Work Plan to incorporate, to incorporate coordination with the identified state and national trail corridors and to integrate those corridors with the four AAC endorsed regional trails. The committee shall, one, initiate outreach to relevant counties, corridors, sponsors, state and federal departments, park districts, transportation agencies, and other stakeholders to identify planning, funding, permitting, and partnership opportunities. Two, prepare a written work plan within 180 days that defines goals, priorities, segments, potential funding sources, preliminary cost ranges, jurisdictional roles, permitting and environmental pathways, and a draft implementation timeline. And three, return the expanded work plan to the full AAC for review and approval prior to presentation to the Transportation Planning Committee for comment and direction.
So as that stands, I don't think we need the amendment. I think this gives us everything as it were. This permits the letter to go forward clearly in item number one there.
If you clearly enunciate
the amendment, we could consider it.
But to follow Amos's suggestion,
mm-hmm.
you would go ahead and get you make the motion, you get a second, and then you ask if there's discussion on that. And if then we pass it in this group, then we make the amendment. So
I
know this is new, but Robert's Rules of Order is in place to make sure the minority is heard. And so the purpose is to make sure if there is minority in the room that has any kind of protest, they will be heard through the process of that discussion and the vote. And that's why you follow Robert's Rules of Order on behalf of the minority. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Sorry that I'm lecturing, but I want to make it.
I
make it work.
I know the basics of Robert's Rules, but I'm not the expert here. If you are, Andrew, then
I just spent a lot of time.
Happy to follow. Tracy.
I would like to make the motion to approve, as presented, the motion tonight from the Land Use Subcommittee. In coordination with the
trails
subcommittee, as presented tonight in this document.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
The seconded by
Dick.
Okay.
Now this.
Okay.
Discussion.
More now,
discussion.
Now we have discussion. If there's any more discussion to be had from the committee, yes, Karen.
So it sounds to me like, as read, this committee is taking on a ton of responsibility. It's definitely an action item and a lot of to-dos. Just to make it's not just like write a letter and send it off. You're assuming a lot of tasks, and I know you're up to it. I just want everybody to know this is going to be activity outside of this meeting that would be going on.
We have three letters that will come next month.
Very engaged committee.
Yeah, I assure you.
They're on it. They're on
we're
it.
On it.
Yeah.
And yes.
Sure, that's my understanding.
In that regard, sorry, Andrew.
Oh, I'm sorry. Should I?
No, please.
Okay.
I'm happy for you to talk. In that regard, Karen, I do want to ask item number two, prepare a written work plan within 180 days. Who will have that responsibility? Is that it? Currently, it's not clear. Is it land use subcommittee? Is it trail subcommittee? Are they going to be in collaboration?
Yeah, that's part of the learning process. This is now becoming an ag advisory committee project in association with our trail subcommittee. So it's akin to the work that was done with the Equine CDP streamlining report, our historical work with the agri-solar policy. And, you know, what we do is set the direction first, and then we start knocking on doors to staff and elected officials to get it worked. And so that's what we'll be doing in the process of evaluating the resources and defining our steps forward and the pathway we're going to follow. We have already crossed paths with state officials. We've crossed paths with Allegheny County elected officials. Those span the park districts that are in the area, and what we have found and the business community. We've begun our outreach with the business community. We found universal support. And it was best summed up by one of the elected officials, Evan Branning, who's a city councilman for Livermore. He just said, you know, he attended a meeting. He attended the meeting with the economic development director for the city of Livermore. His summary was, everybody loves trails. Show me the money. And that's it. So.
Thanks.
Yeah. Pending further discussion, I move we close discussion and move to vote.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Do we need to take public comment?
There are some raised hands online. Do you want 2 minutes or three?
Let's go with two.
Two? Okay. All right. So Mark Connolly, just unmuted you. You can go ahead. You have 2 minutes. I'll put up on the stage already.
I'm Mark Connolly, and Your amendment would cause significant problems. Let me explain why. We're trying to get a reserve classification for the Tesla Park property. And your letter that you have in your proposed amendment goes far beyond what you need to accomplish. I'm assuming you can hear me okay.
Yeah, we hear you well.
Okay. So the plan, your letter is far overbroad because it asks for, or it seems to endorse approval of a plan which would allow excessive trails and development throughout the Tesla Park property, which is in conflict with the reserve classification, which allows public use, but preserves the environmental and natural condition of the property. So I think you're basically getting baited into, to put it bluntly, endorsing a plan which a vast majority of the public that has provided input in so far has objected to because it is not consistent with the reserve classification. It allows for building of trails, paving of roads. It allows for e-bike access over vast areas of the property. So my urging to you is to not have the amendment, which again goes far beyond and I think is endorsing something which takes a lot of time to understand. And I'm not going to be able to cover it in 2 minutes, but I think your original proposal, which is on the agenda, is vague enough. But I think an endorsement of the plan proposed by Parks is a grave error and mistake. The October 31st deadline is merely a deadline that State Parks has placed for input on a survey, you have the ability to provide information long after that. I would be happy to work with your subcommittee or work with you to refine the letter so that it's not overbroad, it doesn't cause the kind of environmental damage, and I think it's going to have repercussions far beyond what you anticipate tonight. I'd be happy to explain those further.
Thank you.
And we have SCM Garamendi. Go ahead and unmute.
Yes, this is Celeste Garamendi. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Great, thank you. I also want to oppose the amendment that has been presented to the committee. In part, it has not gotten the full review in terms of being available to the public in advance to consider it, and that is a major concern. Secondly, as was already identified, there is a planning process underway, but the approval and the endorsement of the preliminary concept plans that have been put forth thus far is grossly premature. Just as one example, there are questions about whether there should be grazing allowed on this land in order to facilitate the habitat for threatened and endangered species. If bikes and multi-use trails and all types of other access is provided, then that prevents that type of activity. Further, there's other reporting that is occurring within the county through the Altamont Landfill Open Space Committee that is also monitoring this process. And I'm not indicating that they are going to take a position, but it would be inappropriate for the Ag Advisory Committee to act independent of what is happening within other committees within the county. As you may be aware, Alameda County filed a lawsuit to prevent the planned expansion of Carnegie into this area. And the county therefore has an interest in what happens that goes beyond what this committee might consider. So the prudent action here would be not to accept this amendment, which has been put forth at the last minute and would have dire consequences, but to do proper due diligence throughout the CEQA process. And they are just at the very beginning of the CEQA process, and there is plenty of time for this committee to provide input when the issue has been thoroughly considered and vetted with appropriate public input.
Thank you. Okay, so we have currently, I know the public comment was about the amendment. Currently, we have a motion with no amendment.
Are you closing public comment?
Is that the end of public comment?
I don't see any other raised hands.
Okay, closing public comment. Currently, we have a motion. There is no amendment to this motion. We have a motion and a second. So can we take one?
Amos proposed closing.
Let's do a roll call.
Yes, he did.
Let's do a roll call and vote.
On the amendment as read by.
There's no amendment.
There's
no
amendment.
I mean, the motion as read.
Yes.
And seconded. Yes.
Motion made by Member Huntzinger and seconded by Member Quigley. Right. Okay. All right. So roll call. Chair Norton?
No.
Yes.
I think it was Tracy.
It would be.
Tracy made the motion. She made the motion.
You made the motion.
I was wondering when I did that.
I got you covered. Thank you. Two of you on my sheet. All right, starting over. So roll call, Chair Norton.
Aye.
Vice Chair Roberts.
Aye.
Member Anderson.
Aye.
Member B. Miller.
Aye.
Member Campos.
Aye.
Member Farhad.
Aye.
Member Goslin?
Aye.
Member Harvey?
Aye.
Oh, it's here. Right. Member Hoppies?
Yes.
Member Huntzinger online?
Yes.
Member Moore?
Yes.
Member Quigley?
Aye.
Member Sullivan? Member Sweet?
Yes.
Carl is excused, and Member White.
Yes.
He passes.
Okay. Now, it's my understanding, so that I'm not exact. I'm not 100% clear on what the amendment. If the amendment is just the letter or not that was discussed. The motion without the amendment did pass. Now, I think that we can either table that amendment and bring it back next meeting, or given that the motion essentially authorizes us to make such a letter, that can now
makes it moot.
Move through the existing subcommittees. And if members of the public would like to submit more detailed information, we can take that up in the subcommittee and consider it.
Okay, so I'm confused. Okay, seems the issue at hand that we got from members of the public is that the amendment, which I, for one, apparently they have seen it, but I've not seen it yet, puts us in a line with state plans for Tesla, which haven't gone to many, many meetings. It's not necessarily consistent with the vast majority of public input that is pushing to have Tesla set aside as a state reserve, which would restrict all kinds of development. So what I'm asking is, does whatever we are doing with this amendment, which I haven't seen yet, put us in favor of what the state is planning to do and opposed to what the vast majority of people who have been pushing for the preservation of Tesla are working towards?
I don't have an answer for you, but
well, you know, is there an amendment out there that somebody can tell me what this amendment is? That apparently the Garamendis know all about, and I, sitting on this committee, have yet to see.
That amendment was read to you and put up on the screen.
I saw the proposal.
The letter.
So we put it back up.
Yeah, I scrolled through the rest of the thing, and I didn't see the proposed amendment. If I miss it, my apologies.
I went through it quickly. I don't mind going through it in detail if that's to serve.
No, just can somebody briefly tell me what the amendment does?
And the amendment's different than the language in the letter.
Correct. Yes.
The motion needs to be we propose we want acceptance of the letter. I mean, the whole letter isn't an amendment necessarily by itself.
We propose we want to accept.
There was no vote on any amendment.
Yeah,
we only voted on the motion, and item seven
we're clear on that.
Effectively, we can close on item seven, but there was no amendment that was voted on, and so
I know we haven't voted on our amendment,
right? And it's not being proposed tonight either.
All right.
So Amos, does that mean then that the whatever's content of the letter, just so I understand, right? Whatever's in the content of the letter that I put together for the group is no longer in the jurisdiction of this group versus look at because it's been delegated to the committee versus
I don't know. Committee members or the chair is going to have to address that.
Well, right. Mr. Norton?
Yeah, he was
we haven't had a chance to go. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you guys already having a I just
He was explaining something.
Yeah. If we stop right now, which I've written the letter and I don't care what we do with it. It's a service to you,
mm-hmm.
right? Are we delegating it to the committee then to finish that letter and do something by October 31st? And this group is saying it has been delegated to that group as a result of a previous.
What I would like to see is for the committee to take this back and get the, if the members of the public are willing, get their detailed input so we can hear what their, so that the subcommittee can hear their argument and then bring that right back to clear that with the executive committee and we go forward. We have.
Because we have time and October 31st doesn't matter.
Well,
yes.
So that's very testimony. That statement, October 31st, doesn't matter.
But what?
That's based on testimony. That's not based on information from the
state. I participated in that process, and they have sent out a questionnaire that people who participated in their workshop need to respond by October 31st.
Yeah.
And that's all it is. You respond to the questionnaire. This, you know, as she said, they have not even started their CEQA process yet.
Regardless of anything, there was a motion made. And there was a motion made earlier. And the time, if you want to amend something, when the motion is made, you make the amendment, and if it's accepted by the folks who made the motion, then you vote on it.
Before the second is taken.
We voted on an item that didn't have an amendment on it. So that deal is done.
Yep.
That ship is sailed. Okay? If we wanted to make an amendment, you had to do it during the motion period. Okay, so done.
Yeah. Anybody still hung up?
But it sounds like we sort of agree that this topic, this letter, and the topic itself needs more work, and there's more time available for the park issue, and we have a committee process to bring it back.
Well, we've already voted on it. It's already in play. We're done.
Right.
They're gonna. They may come back with something entirely.
Right.
If they want to come back with another something else,
they'll come back with three different letters.
It's just like
giving you one.
Yeah. It's just that Karen is summing it up. Just summing it up. Just stating because Bill was asking about, you know, he's unclear with the different elements, and the elements were a proposal, an amendment, and a letter. Where do they fall? How does it all sync together? And as you stated, there is no amendment that we voted on, and any other further discussion right now has all been directed back to committee. So in hoping to, again, close on this, since we've already closed on discussion and had the vote, it's now all going back to committee. So any further discussion will be taken up there.
With all due respect,
this committee has business to attend to, and I'd really like to defer the chair for the remainder.
I would like to close this item now.
So, thank you.
Jack, may I ask the question?
No, yeah. Item 7 is closed. I'm sorry, it's closed. Okay. Moving on to item 3.
Sure.
General plan amendment to comply with Senate Bill 1425. This is one of our attachments. Allie, would you like to?
So this one is me. I'm going to try my darndest to get through this simply for you all.
It's only 7:25, guys. I think we're doing pretty good on that. We'll have a whole hour. I think we might end early.
Give me just a second to get the screen going. There we go. Okay, so I hear the action item tonight, actually presenting to you for the first time in a while. With proposed amendments to the open space element of the county's general plan to comply with new state law, Senate Bill 1425. The requirements of that law, since it was adopted in 2022, it requires cities and counties, so all jurisdictions, to review and update their open space elements, which is a required element of the general plan, by January 1st of this coming year, so 2026. To address equitable access to open space for all residents correlated with the environmental justice element, to address climate resilience and other co-benefits of open space correlated with the safety element, and to address rewilding opportunities, which are correlated with the land use element. And what do you want to know are rewilding opportunities? So here we go. So per 1425, rewilding opportunities may include but are not limited to opportunities to preserve, enhance, and expand an integrated network of open space to support beneficial uses such as habitat, recreation, natural resources, historic and tribal resources, water management, and aesthetics. And sorry for the extra two there, establishing a natural community, natural communities conservation plan to provide for coordinated mitigation of impact of new development. So rewilding opportunities is rather broad. Just earlier this month, on the 6th of October, the Governor's Office of Land Use and Climate Innovation published guidance to help local jurisdictions comply with this law. So we just got this guidance a couple weeks ago. the path to compliance that we are following is outlined in that guidance. And sorry, just to note, the guidance is still in draft format, so we're following the draft guidance. And that instructs local governments to understand the legislation and its definitions, to look at our existing compile, look at our existing plans and programs and evaluate them for compliance, and then to identify any gaps in those existing plans and programs. So it does talk about looking at all of the plans and programs that the local jurisdiction has. We looked only at the general plan, so I'm just going to note that. It could include things like a local hazard mitigation plan or types of plans. And if no gaps are identified, you can proceed to the next step, which is to integrate those existing policies and actions into the general plan by reference. So those are the steps that we are following. So if no gaps are identified, step 5A serves as the final step to integrate SB 1425 compliant into the federal plan, again, by reference, by referencing plans. So clearly and succinctly summarizing each relevant existing plan in the updated general plan, providing direct URLs and easy references for transparency. Ensuring consistency, so making sure that they're internally consistent. Summarizing compliance, so providing a concise narrative that illustrates how the reference plans, either individually or collectively, can ensure compliance. And then adopting by resolution. So that would be adoption by resolution of the Board of Supervisors. So that leads me to proposed Appendix B, which is our answer to these requirements. So we conducted a comprehensive review of the county's general plan to identify gaps and opportunities to support SB 1425 compliance. And following that review, we determined that the requirements of SB 1425 are already satisfied through existing general plan policies and implementation measures. And this proposed Appendix B, which is in the on the back there, it should have also been attached to the agenda, documents existing compliance and incorporates relevant policies into the open space element by reference. So this is a chart that shows the different elements of the existing county general plan that satisfy SB 1425 requirements. So I highlighted, so I just, you know, for folks who are listening and maybe not seeing the slide, in the open space element, well, there's a total of, I should say, of 38 policies without the general plan that address equitable access to open space, 24 that address climate resilience and co-benefits of open space, and 48 that already address rewilding opportunities. And I highlighted those zeros because there are some gaps. So not every single chapter of the general plan addresses every single section of this of the requirements of this law. For example, so just to point this out, because this applies to many folks in this room, the East County Area Plan has zero policies that address equitable access to open space. However, we recently did an analysis looking at where the county's disadvantaged communities are as defined by Senate Bill 1000. They are located in the Eden area and parts of Castro Valley. And so the county developed and adopted the environmental justice element specifically to address environmental justice concerns in those communities. And that plan has 16 policies that address equitable access to open space. So as a whole, the general plan is already actually doing a very good job, and it's sort of a standard of, you know, how general plans should be doing business to address these things. So this slide is for you. What about ROSA, the resource conservation, open space, and agriculture element of the general plan? So this is a project that began 10 or more years ago, so before my time at the county, as a concurrent update to the resource conservation, agriculture, and open space elements of the general plan. The existing open space element that we would be amending by adding this this appendix was adopted in the 1970s. It has a beautiful, swirly, trippy 70s cover that I love. And it was last amended in 1994. So I'm just want to be very open with you that it's not been amended in a while and that ROSA is long overdue. Unfortunately, this project has been on hold in recent years, many of the last recent years, due to competing priorities, state mandates, staffing changes, COVID, and have no plan date to resume this work at this time. I'm sorry to report. So when ROSA work continues, that will definitely offer a really good opportunity for us to further consider, talk about how to really address SB 1425 compliance in a holistic way. So just wanted to make a note about that because, you know, ROSA is of particular interest to this committee. So just a note about CEQA. These amendments would not be subject to the California Environmental Quality Act. So we're preparing a draft notice of exemption because it would not result in a direct or reasonably foreseeable indirect physical change in the environment, and based on the common sense exemption, where it can be seen with certainty that there is no possibility that the activity in question, i.e. adding an appendix, may have a significant impact on the environment. Here's our public meeting calendar. You are the first. Stella on the roadshow. Thank you so much. Thank you for letting me add this to the agenda somewhat last minute. I really appreciate it. We'll be at Budge the Max in November and early December, planning commission in mid-December, and then we will, we're hoping to have this adopted by mid-March, so only a couple of months. Project documents, so the draft amendments, actually, I need to post those. The draft amendments are not up yet, but they will be up on this website very soon. They are in your packet, and they're online on the Ag Advisory Committee agenda. And the draft CEQA notice of exemption, meeting calendar, et cetera, are all on our website for this project. And finally, staff recommendation. Staff recommends that your committee vote to forward the proposed open space element amendments and the CEQA notice of exemption to the Planning Commission, with a recommendation that these amendments be adopted by the Board of Supervisors. That is all. Thank you. And I'll go back to this chart because that might be something.
Can you tell me what the three means up there? Wait.
What the three mean?
When you refer to, I'm only going to speak to Castro Valley because that's the area I know.
Sure. And, yeah. Yeah. So
when I look at, when you said the environmental justice deal in Castro Valley, you're talking about the urban area, correct?
Yeah, so there are, and I can actually open up.
And why would we talk about the agricultural area when you have a Crow Canyon Road that has 18 to 20,000 cars a day on it, and yet you talk about environmental justice with animals and stuff like that? There's roadkill every day on both sides of the road. And I get very frustrated when I see this because it is it hasn't been vetted by the Castro Valley residents. We're making an assumption we're going to make a recommendation on something that the folks that live in the community haven't even had an opportunity to review, and there's nothing in here. As this is an agricultural commission. By design, there's nothing in here about agriculture to speak of. In our community, how do we enhance agriculture? So I find it very frustrating to read this. It's because we're constantly trying to protect and enhance agriculture. And this is another example of how Measure D got passed with open space. And it's really not an agricultural document at all. And it doesn't talk about any way to shape or form to make it better. This is an environmental document for open space, clearly. And it hasn't been vetted by the Castro Valley community. And throughout in here, Castro Valley is referenced.
Yeah, so if I may note, there are no new policies proposed.
Right.
As part of this to be added to any portion of the general plan. So the policies that are referenced in Castro Valley are already in Castro Valley's general plan, which is
under review right now.
Sure.
Changing.
Thank you actually so much for noting that. As general plan elements are amended from time to time, such as the Castro Valley general plan, this appendix will be amended in tandem.
Yeah.
so that it remains consistent.
Well, we had a meeting last week with Nate SNN, and one of the biggest objections the community had was in Castro Valley is folks outside of the area dictating how the people in Castro Valley were going to live. And for instance, all of us in this room, if you don't live in Castro Valley, you're going to vote on a document that impacts Castro Valley. And that was the number one comment they had, was it was very disturbing that the council member or the supervisor from Berkeley would be voting on a bike lane in Castro Valley. And whereas the Castro Valley residents are saying, hey, wait a minute, time out. We live here. We're not coming to your community and voting on what you need. Stay out of ours. And that was the number one issue. And I read this and I'm saying, didn't you guys, or didn't the county listen to what the community was saying loud and clear?
I mean, it's not proposing any changes to Castro Valley.
So all of it, can I public speak?
Please, of course.
A4, the open space element, provide open space around each community, that's existing.
That is in the Castro Valley building.
Okay, and I understand that, but there's not going to be any change to the verbiage or anything.
No changes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's only incorporating, it's pointing to those documents saying these policies are in those documents and incorporating those by reference into the open space element. So zero changes to any existing policies.
How are we going to provide comprehensive hiking, equestrian, and biking trails? I read this, almost all of Castro Valley, other than a few parks, is privately owned.
So it's already in the Castro Valley General Plan, so it would be a great opportunity while you're revising the Castro Valley General Plan to address that question. But that's not what's at question here.
Why are these called amendments? There's no amendment.
Yeah.
Right, the amendment is adding an appendix.
And the appendix
is merely pointing to things that already exist.
The appendix explains what SB 1425 is and the requirements and says we already meet them.
We're in compliance.
We're already in compliance. Here's how. And
well,
it points at existing policies.
And it's not making any comments to the content of what's there.
No impact to the, and it's actually the opposite. So when the Castro Valley General Plan is amended,
it will update
this.
So in 8.2-1, it says at the bottom of it, also consider additional demands of those who work in the community but are not residents.
That's in your general plan.
I didn't see that in our general plan.
It is.
Well, I guarantee.
I mean,
it'll be taken out.
We're talking about two different conversations here.
Yeah.
You know?
Thank you.
So,
it's not that you're going to do. Yeah.
I can tell you what. We've got a lot of changes to make in our general plan. Some of this is in there. Because I don't remember seeing it.
Sounds to me like this amendment and this appendix B is essentially proving that we are already in compliance. We don't need to do anything.
We don't need to adopt
the argument that this appendix is making.
Exactly.
But it doesn't stop us from adopting.
There's no amendments.
It doesn't stop you from adopting new policies.
But you're not requesting any action on this tonight. That's just an information item.
If your committee does want to propose additions to policies, they would be additions to policies in the open space amendment, by the way. So not in the Castro Valley amendment. We could make those suggestions as part of an amendment to a proposed amendment, and we would bring those to the planning commission and the board, and they would decide whether to agree.
Yep.
All right. I would like to make a motion.
Yeah.
Just put a motion on the floor
that
Appendix B should be added in reflection of current policies of various general plans within the county that prove compliance with the state SB 1425.
I'll second that. We have a motion and a second.
Some discussion.
Any discussion?
Yes. If we're going to comply with what the state says, then why even ask us? If the state's saying you're going to do it, just do it. Don't bring it to me and say, hey, the state says we got to comply. Do you want to do it or not?
I think
we could have proposed new things that will restrict us more But we're not. We're just saying, hey, look, we're
more.
We yeah, exactly. More like the space around the town needs to be even bigger than it says. But we're not doing that. We're just pointing to things that already exist in our general plans and saying we're compliant.
There are things in here that are not in the general plan, or at least not very clear in the Castro Valley area. I happen to know quite a bit about it because I review it. So, but we will make those changes if they're in there, I guarantee.
If there's a typo in here and we catalog something that is not in the general plan, we will fix that.
Okay.
But
this can't supersede the general plan update.
No,
I'm sorry.
This can't.
Oh no.
Okay.
No.
These are
no, it's the opposite. So, and actually, in the appendix, it says when the general plan, when the elements are updated
okay.
from time to time, this will be updated in tandem so that they're consistent. Because we can't be internally inconsistent within the general plan. It's a bad look.
Any other discussion?
Nobody's jumping on Diana's.
Do we need?
Oh, I have a second.
Already got a second.
Do we need public comment?
We do. I don't see any raised hands in the room and not online.
Closing public comment. Let's do a roll call.
Okay. Chair Norton.
Aye.
Vice Chair Roberts.
Aye.
Member Anderson.
Aye.
Member B. Miller.
Aye.
Member Campos.
Aye.
Member Farhad.
Aye.
Member Goslin.
Aye.
Member Harvey.
Aye.
Poppies.
Yes.
Member Hunsinger.
Aye.
Member Moore.
No.
Member Quigley?
Aye.
Member Sullivan?
Aye.
Member Sweet?
Yes.
Member White to excuse, and Member White? Okay, motion carries.
Yes.
Okay, closing item number 8. Moving on to item number 9, brief subcommittee reports as time allows. Karen, would you like to start? You always have excellent subcommittee updates.
The everything in my report is written there, except that I have contacted 3 individuals in consideration for the inquire if they're interested in the 2 vacancies, and another name came to me today. So I'm working, trying to bring folks in. And when I contact them, I send them to the meeting agenda and the links to what's on the website, so they have information and my phone number.
Please scare
off. So I'm going to scare them off. All that information.
Karen, if they want to talk to staff too, feel free to connect them to me.
Yeah. And I just want to recognize Grace since it's your second meeting.
You got a good action packed meeting today. Glad to have you here, Grace.
She gets to experience with Carly. Yeah. Experience tonight for you, the book.
Okay, thank you very much, Karen. Moving on to advocacy outreach partnership subcommittee.
Well, we had a nice plan to develop a newsletter with these bounds, and I'd like to talk to you offline. You want to get a better understanding why and what sort of communications are so pick up next time. Other than that.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate that. Land use and ag management. Any updates that you guys care to share?
Probably. I was not at my last land use subcommittee, so I don't know whether Tracy can take a staff.
You know, I was hoping Jerry might help with that, and Karen, because we're on the call. But one of the big topics that came up was the fact about land use, and that you have so much land, but you can't divvy it up. You can't pass it down to your kids because you can't divvy it up and all that. So it was a real discussion about sustainability for keeping farming land and agricultural lands going, as well as being able to pass it down to your kids. So what we would like to do is just suggest that we put that on a future topic for real in-depth conversation so that we could really move forward and get something accomplished.
Yeah, this came up recently. Rex talked about it a little bit at the last meeting. My son's unable to build a house on our land because he doesn't have title to the land. So it's little things like that. And so there should be some sort of succession plan for families that own land be able to pass it down to their kids in some way, shape, or form. And we put the Griffin put together a little bit of a proposal on that, and we're going to modify it a little bit and bring it before the board as a whole next month.
You're talking to more and more ranchers and farmers with their kids moving out of the area. You know, they have four kids and they have 200 acres and they can only divide it by 100. And so two of them.
And it's generational families.
Generational families.
So maybe there needs we need to talk a little more about how we define some guardrails on this, maybe. So it's just doesn't open Pandora's box, but there should be some way to have a succession plan for your kids to own the land.
Yeah, it's significant. Since Measure D was passed, the outcome has been is that there's been a loss of small agricultural parcels that when I was in practice as a horse veterinarian, I considered to be agricultural incubators. I mean, the people that had day jobs came from those properties. In the subsequent 25 years, people have had to go out and get day jobs if they've just owned large parcels because the large parcels can't generate the revenue needed to support a family. That being said, you know, the county is in need of a paradigm shift that considers agriculture and how you actually enhance agriculture and agricultural lands when you consider the fact that on an inflation-adjusted basis, there's been a decline in agricultural production. And when you consider the per capita impacts and you look at the income appreciation of our neighbors who don't have anything to do with agriculture, and you look at the appreciation of value of their homes versus our ranches, recognize that something is remarkably askew as it relates to the ag economy.
And that's a great discussion, Larry, because I will tell you that South Livermore plan has been a pretty good plan. With the 20-acre parcels, you see a lot more agriculture, right? Whereas the 100-acre parcels in the Castro Valley area. And you look at Nigerian up in the hills there, he's got a 17-acre avocado farm.
Yeah.
There's a number there that is that fits agriculture better today,
right?
And we need to be talking about stuff like that.
And then that's compounded by interpretations of Measure D. The measure allows recreation, but we're told that events are not allowed. And events seem like recreation to me. Now, I don't know why there's a disconnect and why an event can be recreation in town, but it's not considered recreation out on the farm or ranch. And, you know, it's compounding of influences that's pretty much destroyed the agricultural economy. And it's made it the case that committees like this have to be occupied by the same people. And we have to consider breeding programs to start new agricultural committees. There's just nobody around to do it.
There's some in this room who know that some of our park districts, and I won't name names, but there's two or three of them around, have stifled some large events.
Right.
Equestrian, hiking,
music,
mountain biking. Those are three I know about.
Right.
I don't understand it, but this committee could help notice it, one, and offer constructive guidance to, because we're not getting from our special districts, we're not getting what we pay for or what we deserve as a community. And I've been there and done that, and it's not only Parks and Rec, but it can be water and energy too.
I wanted to just also give one brief update. So Diana, I guess we'll bring that back to our subcommittee on agritourism. I was invited to be on a panel with Brandy Lombardi with the Livermore Valley Wine Growers Community, as well as Rebecca Spector with Los Positas, Tri-Valley Conservancy. And then also a lady, Sheila, from the Rodeo Foundation.
Sheila for the
So this was put on by Livermore Chamber of Commerce, and it was part of their Wine Country luncheon series. And so we were on there on a panel talking about agritourism. And I did mention about being on the committee and about having to connect our trails, and Halbert was right in front with his three staff members as well. So it was a nice audience of about 120 people. So I think we're, it's a little more exposure for agritourism.
Food was terrific.
Mm-hmm.
The food was terrific.
Oh, and Andrew, he was there, so he can tell you.
It was the food.
That was it for us, 1 a.m.
Okay, moving forward, solar policy subcommittee. I'm going to refrain from giving any updates.
I would like to make a comment.
Yes,
into this. I had not been up to Morgan Territory in all this time. So recently, I took a drive up there at, along North Livermore. The Aramis project is being built. And I must say, that is an immense industrial site. I have a good sense of what 350 acres is, but I was staggered at how big it was and how much it has changed the character of the whole northwest corner of that upper Livermore Valley, and extends far beyond Manning Road. So I encourage all of you, if you haven't driven up North Livermore, take a drive, or come down Manning Road and take a drive, because the county approved this, and a lot of the question was what the impact would be on the rural and farming community. And just in my judgment, I was stunned. So take a drive, see what it's like. So when these projects come before us again, you'll have a good idea of what they're actually talking about.
And what else can you do with the property?
There was opportunity for things. If they had water a little bit more, there was. I can tell you right now, there's a guy getting ready to plant probably 50 acres of guava. It is farmland. It was farmland.
Grazing. It was all it was all grazing. So anyway, take a road trip so that when these projects come before us again, you'll have an idea of what they actually look like when they're done.
Yep.
That's all I have.
Equine subcommittee. Larry, do you?
Yeah. And so right now, there have been actions taken by the community, the horse industry within the community, that have resulted in the need for the Equine Technical Advisory Committee to become active, working with the planning department. The Equine Technical Advisory Committee is a committee of the Planning Department. It was formed based on the advice of the Ag Advisory Committee. So our last experience has been working with the ETAC and the planning director and assigned staff to work on issues of definitions and consideration of recognizing that the equine community is in fact an agricultural use of the land. And so what has happened is that the role of the ETAC, Planning Department's Equine Committee, has been heightened and has been directed to become active again, working with the supervisor or working with the Planning Department. All that being said, that happened a few weeks ago. We're waiting to settle into a work plan, and the ETAC will be proposing a work plan if one of them doesn't come forward from the planning department. So now, again, there's a differentiation between that committee and the equine subcommittee of the Ag Advisory Committee. The equine subcommittee isn't active right now. Even though we're the same people, we're working with the ETAC.
I think a little bit clearer, too, is that it's all about SDR processes right now, site development reviews. There are folks out there that have equine facilities are spending anywhere from a minimal starting fee of $2,500 to get started. And then if you have to do any kind of site work, another $3,000 or $4,000 for engineering. And I know several ranches in the area that have spent over $100,000-$150,000 because the county did not have records of some of their old agricultural uses and buildings. And so Dan Devini, who was on the MAC, brought it to the MAC. The MAC said, 7-0, it's got to stop. Right. Yeah. So it went from the MAC to Mark Crawford, put it on the Planning Commission agenda. Planning Commission said, 7-0, stop.
Unanimous.
Unanimous. Went to the Board of Supervisors, TNP. TNP directed Planning Department, because the Planning Department would not take the action that Dan Devini took. So our Planning Department just basically ignored the request. And I'm sorry, I'm just making it very clear. Albert did not do his job as a planner of our Planning Department. And basically would not take a position until TNP stepped in and told him, get with the Equine Committee and whatever it takes to get this resolved and come back.
Yeah, to give some context to that, the citizen Dan Devini recognized the problem, and from his own, you know, recognition of injustice, he stepped forward and entered the process. What his participation did was bring us to a need for definitions and recognition of new considerations of the land use designation that's associated with horse facilities. Now, that is exactly the same spot the ETAC got themselves to with transportation planning a year before or 14 months before. Those issues that are the issues that came forward from Dan Devini were put in the lap of the Planning Department by transportation planning, and they've been sitting there silent without a response. And so you may recall that over the last year, my updates have been, oh, we're waiting for things to transpire, or, you know, we're waiting for action to start developing. And that's what happened. We had a fallow period where just nothing was being considered at all. So getting back to the scope of work that this committee is capable of, Karen and I, and I think we're the only two people left for that effort. Karen and I were involved with a effort 25 years ago, Equine CUP Streamlining Project. When that was initiated, it was initiated by this committee, but we expanded that effort to include over 50 officials from Alameda County. And you came up with a comprehensive work plan that I believe will be comparable to work that can be done by the Trails Committee or people that are evaluating land uses or anything else. So we have a history of performing at a high level, and I'm looking forward to us kind of gearing up to do that again.
25 years ago, Larry, is when we got, during that period, Caballo Loco, the horse campground
sure.
in Del Valle.
Yeah, we also did the working landscape,
right? Yeah.
Which was a predecessor to the ROSA process.
But on the equine, you know, what they've done is it went from a CUP process
right.
to an SDR process.
Right.
Site development review is generally when you're building a new building. So when you go through the site development review process, you go to environmental health, you go to the fire, you go to the public works, you go to the planning, you go through all these different departments, and everybody looks at it like it was a new project.
Yeah.
And it costs a bloody fortune to get through it, and
right.
it's got to stop. We're stopping horse facilities from even existing.
Andrew, I see you wanted to make a comment. I just got to say, on item number seven, I was treating you as a special guest. You're a member of the public.
Okay.
And
I was just wondering to add to it.
Absolutely. But
that's okay.
But to keep order in the meeting, I need to
okay,
I need you to speak at the time for the public to speak.
Fair enough.
Thank you. So we can take public comment at the end of this item, right, Allie?
Yes, of course.
Okay.
Yes.
So just moving along, please hold that in your head.
Yeah, sure.
Urban Ag, anybody from Urban Ag want to give an update today? I know Amos.
Okay.
Dick, I know you already gave us a lot earlier today, but is there anything else?
I'll give you a little more.
I thought you might.
Just a little good news on East Bay Regional Park District. We've got their attention, and they put money in their new budget for Murray Township. We think it's significant. Second, a couple of us took a ride out to Bethany Reservoir several weeks ago, and looked at, you've heard me talk about the Delta conveyance changing that landscape significantly, probably in the future, farmland. We looked at it, and they're going to build a new conveyance, probably up to Bethany Reservoir, drop in our water. That's where Zone 7 water gets lifted, and then it gravity feeds the South Bay Aqueduct. The chief, the state gal, April Mason, that runs both, she runs Tesla and Bethany, gave us a tour with her people. It's a 6-mile reservoir with trails all around it. On the San Joaquin side, and Mountain House side, the trail, you've heard me talk about the California Aqueduct, is open. We saw bikers. We've got pictures of bikers on this wonderful open trail up to Bethany Reservoir. From Bethany Reservoir, we will have pictures for you soon.
It's great.
Showing visionary opportunity, because you can look at Harvey Banks pumping station where Delta Zone 7, we get Zone 7 water to put on our vineyards and through our toilets. And you can look up from Bethany Reservoir up to Brushy Peak, and it's not very far. And on the way back, we went up Laughlin Road. Now, there's trails that you can walk around, and fishermen go to Bethany Reservoir. There were people with boats there. But when we came back, we went up Laughlin Road, and we looked at several properties. Barb owns a big piece of property that's right next to Brushy Peak, the Brushy Peak that East Bay Regional owns, because the top 500 acres is what LARPD owns. So you have to kind of think about what, who owns what and why. We went up to the end, and there's a little Dyer reservoir up there that is another little feeder that is in the South Bay Aqueduct system. And years ago, when I became a young board member for Zone 7, Zone 7 had visions of building a treatment plant up there across from Dyer Road, and the board never let it go forward. And we went up on this piece of property, and my driver, Dave, said, "This is Zone 7's property, Dick." And I looked around and I said, "By golly, it still is." So there, this is 20 years ago or more. And I know the county has surplus property. Right above the property, this vacant property that I believe Zone 7 might own, is a trail over down into Dyer Reservoir from Bethany, because Bethany feeds Dyer Reservoir. It's a kind of a short walk. And then it goes up to the left across Dyer Road, where the plant was to be the water treatment plant, and then up to Brushy Peak. So my mind worked crazily. If there's surplus property and a Delta conveyance going to tear up the landscape, you know, to make a new, better conveyance for us, for water, why not go forward and go to Brushy Peak? And once you get, Jack and I were talking last week, he'd like to go up to the top of Brushy Peak and look over and look down the 300 feet that we talk about to get to Morgan Territory, which
I would.
Bill had a road trip up to Morgan Territory. When you get to Brushy Peak, you're close to Morgan Territory. All we have to do is get to the Los Vaqueros Trail across Old Masco Road. There's a cattle a tunnel where cattle can go through, horses can go through, people can go through. So that's our vision that we want to share with you with pictures and ideas soon.
Thank you. Like give any updates from Water Resources?
No.
Thank you. All right, close. Any public comment from item number 9? Andrew? Yeah, Andrew.
The context of what I was going to say is long lost. We'll take it up when I have it done instead of what I'm going to do.
Thank you. Okay.
And no risk.
Okay, closing item number 9. Moving on to number 10, chair, committee member, ex officio, and or staff announcements or any final comments. Instead of going around the room, I'd just like to open the floor for any of the committee. See, Allie has a comment to make.
Committee members.
I'll go ahead and say, I enjoyed this first meeting as the chair. I definitely feel like I've learned a few things about chairing a committee this meeting and look to reflect on those things and come back an even better chair at the next meeting. But that's just how I am. Any other committee members have any comments they'd like to make?
Good job, Jack.
Yeah,
good.
I'll make one more trail comment. on Thanksgiving morning, my Rotary Club puts on a wonderful turkey burn event at Pleasanton Sports Park. And we walk or tailor duck from the sports park to the San Francisco outlets and back, have coffee, donuts. We'll probably have 3,500 to 5,000 people on Thanksgiving morning. This is our 11th annual, and it's on the top of Bank Zone 7 Flood Control Channel. So thank you, Zone 7, for allowing it to happen.
Walk.
Wait, Dick, where could I find more information about that again?
Pleasanton North Rotary, Turkey Burn.
Thank you.
Turkey Burn.
Turkey Burn. Burn calories.
Yeah.
Burn.
Yeah.
Burn.
We have one more meeting before that, so I can put an announcement in the next agenda if you like.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keeper.
Okay.
I have something quick. You know,
oh, please.
Yeah, sorry. So I just, I think I mentioned a few months ago that the planning department received a grant from Cal Fire. The first ever urban forest plan and complete tree inventory for the urban unincorporated parts of the county. It's been on hold because it is federal money, but we are moving forward now. And we just released our RFP to get a consultant to help us with that work this week. And responses are due on the 1st of December. So if you know anyone who wants to do amazing tree planning work and is already engaged in that work and wants to bid, send them my way, and I'll send them the announcement.
Great.
Okay. I need to tell you more about that.
No, a lot of the cities have similar things. I know Zone 7 actually did something similar. It might be nice if all those things could talk to us.
I know, right? Yeah. Yes.
How many dollars are available?
It's just under 600 for the consultant. 600,000 for the consultant.
Okay. Okay.
Get to see, hear the
public comments for item number 10, right?
Yes, and I see no raised hands.
Okay. Item number 11, agenda's item suggests future meetings.
I had one. I didn't get asked. Nice work.
Thank you, Andrew.
Really thank you. Appreciate that.
Item number 11, do we need to have discussion or can we skip over this item that's right here? Okay.
You know what I'd like to find out?
Yes, correct.
I'm public still. But the Ag Department for Alameda County, like to find out about getting more funding to spray for invasive species, weeds.
Uh-huh. Oh man, I love that.
So, right, they used to do it in the spring and fall. Now they barely do it in the spring because they don't have the money.
Well, and what with the glyphosate got such a bad rap, like people had to just not touch it. You know, everybody had, I think every public agency was like, oh, we don't use that stuff, and now they're using
We're stronger things.
Not this. We looked it up.
You got artichoke mask on every.
Yeah, we have wild artichokes. And they, no, wild artichokes. Worse. 10 times worse. Star thistle, you can deal with.
Seeing tumbleweeds are in rare canyon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Okay. And it's